morning, church.
Good morning.
Boy, I had difficulty with this computer today, boy. Great to see everyone. It's awesome to see everyone here today celebrating and worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, making God the priority in their life today. I'd like to take this moment to acknowledge the visitors and friends to encourage. We are encouraged by your presence, and we pray that we can reciprocate the same encouragement. Today's objectives, we have several, at least three objectives. Number one objective, we cannot lie to ourselves spiritually, because eventually we will lie to God. The first scripture was 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 and 12. 10 and 12. It's saying we're all deceivableness, unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God should send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Apostle Paul was trying to explain to those Christians about the second coming of Jesus Christ. They were preaching and teaching false doctrine. Doctrine that will allow a person to become wicked, not knowing the scriptures. They didn't entrust themselves to endeavor to learn more about the scriptures. So they were preaching this false doctrine. And Paul is trying to convey to them to not go that direction. But they continue to pursue. They continue to suppress and reject the God's word. And God's going to send them a strong delusion, and they're going to believe that lie. So the Bible informs us at the same time. So we need to understand that we cannot have a mindset that is delusional. I want us to understand that. Delusional means that we're not learning these scriptures. We're not understanding the scripture. We're taking what man says, taking what I say, and using it and saying it's the right thing. When I could preach a false doctrine, that's why we got to check ourselves. You got to check me and ensure that I'm preaching and teaching the correct thing. That we don't make an error in faith that is fatal. We cannot get to heaven in sin. Understand that. We cannot enter heaven in a sinful state. Have a misconception of our faith. Sometimes we have just because we're in the church, we think we're good. But it's more to just being in the church. Dennis said pretty early today, faith without works is dead. So we have to put our faith, and without faith, when you have faith, you're going to do some works. Just can't have faith alone. So we don't want to be in that state at all. Man, unfortunately, there are a plethora of people, including Christians, who are in a strong delusion. They have a strong delusional mindset. They have made an error in their faith. They had a misconception of their faith. Confirming what statistics already revealed, that 100,000 people die each and every day without knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some of them thought they was on the right track. They made an assumption when it concerned their faith. The Bible tells us easy in James chapter 5, verse 20. He said, let him know that which is converted in the sinner from the errors of their way shall save a soul from death, shall hide a multitude of sin. We're here to worship God, to prevent any soul from losing, any person from losing their soul. That's our mission. Our mission is to go out there and teaching everyone the gospel, preventing someone from losing their soul, including ours. And how we do that? We do it by not guessing that we're saved. We do it by not having a misconception of our faith. We do it by having a mindset of Christ at all times. See, we got to continue to interpret, have an interpretation of the scripture. Understand the information that we receive and make it aspirate and pop and apply to our life. We have to apply to our life that we can be transformed by the renewal of our minds by Christ Jesus himself. See, what I'm trying to convey, church, we cannot assume that we are going to heaven. We have to put some work in. Second, our soul, that soul is our only soul we have. Second scripture. Jesus was on the mount, and he was preaching, and not just to disciples, but to anybody else around. And he says, "Enter ye at the straight gates. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way will lead into life. And few there be that find it." I don't have to elaborate who those few people are. Those are Christians. Those are Christians that's on that few, the few Christians that's on there. The question of the day is, who is on the straight and narrow road? Is it me? You? We can't assume that. How can we figure out if it's you or me on that road? Make it simple. We're going to find out who's on the road today, this morning, and tonight we're going to find who's not on the road when I preach that. To find out who's on the road, we got to know the straight and narrow road. They're going to be those who are pleasing to God. Those I'm talking about walking worthy of God, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. They're going to be those who are ready. Ready. If they die the day of tomorrow, they could give account of themselves, knowing that now they sin. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. They're going to be those who are obedient to God. I mean, obedient to the fact that they're serving their purpose according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. So we all got a purpose in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're going to be those who are doing their mission, who are attempting to accomplish their mission. The Bible tells in Matthew chapter 28 and 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That's our mission. They're going to be those who's not ignorant to the word of God. See, the Bible tells us in Hosea 4 and 6, God said, "For my people are lost because of lack of knowledge." Meaning that we got to obtain some spiritual knowledge. That's who's going to be on the straight and narrow. Oh, they're going to be those who steadfast. Not move, unmovable. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 58. It's going to be those who make no excuses about serving God, according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. We make no excuses about serving God. It's going to be those who's not separated from sin, from God because of sin. See, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. He said, "For I am persuaded," Paul said, "for neither death, nor life, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, no height, no depth, or any other creature be able to separate it from the love of God." Nothing in this world should be able to separate us from the love of God. See, what we're talking about here, there are a few people that can be standing on straight and narrow. They're going to be those that are standing on the promises of Jesus Christ. The ones that recognize and understand whoever abides in Jesus, Jesus will be with them from the very end, according to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. It's going to be those who understand that Jesus is preparing a place for them in heaven, a mansion in heaven, John chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. It's going to be those, church, who understand that eternal life, Jesus is helping us get to eternal life. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 11, verse 25 to 26. See, last week, Brian preached about Father God on Judgment Day. He said, God gonna have a book in his hand, the book of life, and that we all gonna be judged by. Brian also mentioned last week, God's not gonna make an assumption about you or me, whether he's a good dude or a bad guy. It's not gonna happen that way. It's gonna be according to the book. Who deserved to get to heaven? Since God is not gonna make an assumption about us, we shouldn't make an assumption about our faith of getting to heaven. See, the bottom line is we gotta stand on the promises of Jesus Christ. We can't make an error that's delusional. We can't have that mindset. We cannot make a fatal error when it comes to our soul. We gotta be 100% sure. That's why Jesus tells us and the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23 and in Romans chapter 12 and 2 to renew our spirit, our minds. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of our minds. That means every day we got to daily, we got to walk daily and learn more about God. See, that Bible says, we need to understand that Jesus' mindset. Philippians 2 and 5, we got to have that mindset. So how are we going to do it today? Since Brian said last week, I'm going to be judged by the book. And since we're all alive now, we ought to judge ourselves right now. Title lesson, judge by the book. We know the Bible says in James chapter 4 and 14, life is a vapor. We're here for a little while, and then we vanish away. Therefore, we understand that it behooves us to make preparations to get to heaven by being judged by the word right now. Because we want to go on the right side of God, right? And not the left, according to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 and 33. Let's open up the book then. We're going to look at five verses, and we're going to call it a day. We're going to judge by ourselves. We're going to judge ourselves. Get ready. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3, chapter 1 through 5. Just know also that in the last day, perilous times should come. We are in perilous times as we speak. So we need to be judged by this book, right?
Right.
So let's get through it. Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and 2, for men should be lovers of their own self, covetous, boastful, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Lovers, let's break it down. Lovers of themselves. We're talking about Christians who self-centered, will do their own will before they do God's will. Lovers of money. They will sacrifice the principles of God. Is that anyone in here? See, we got to judge ourselves. We can't lie to ourselves. The next one is covetous. If we understand the fruits of the Spirit, well, in Galatians chapter 5, the church, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, temperance, goodness, faith, you must also know covetous is the fruit of Satan, which is produced oppression, death, disobedience, robbery, meanness, unscrupulous, fraud, scoffing, hustling. We're talking about that, church. Covetous. Boasters. Talk about boasters now. We're trying to judge ourselves, make sure we right on track. Talking about Christian, egotistical, braggers. Those that brag more about themselves and causing people to stumble, Christians to stumble. The Bible tells in Romans chapter 1 and verse 32, say, knowing that the judgment of God, that they commit such things, are worthy to death. We talk about pride. We judging ourselves. Because if they're going to be the standard in heaven, we need to know right now. Proud Christians are arrogant, showing themselves above and displaying above others, displaying no humbleness. The Bible tells in 1 Peter 5 and 5 and 6, God resists the proud and give grace to the humble. Talking about blasphemers, insulting God with bad language and insulting God with the character of God. That's a deadly sin according to Mark chapter 3, verse 29. Disobedience to parents. I'm sorry, I went too fast. Disobedience to parents. Refusing to hear God's word from your parents. Just not being a great child. We ought to be thankful. You know, back in the days, in Moses' days, in Judaism days, when a child was disobedient, according to Deuteronomy chapter 21, 18 and 20, they would stone that child to death. Well, good thing we in Christianity, right? Unthankful. God has blessed us with so much stuff, so much material things, so many, our houses, our home, our family. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, to give thanks always to God, the Father, and to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Talk about unholy. When Christians refuse to do and apply their talents to the Lord's church, see, we all have a talent. We all have ability to uplift the church. When we don't utilize our talents, it's unholy. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1 and 15, be ye holy in everything we do. We have to be holy. See, it's not about me or anybody. We're trying to see if we're on that straight and narrow road, because we're going to be judged by this book. So we need to prepare right now. The question is, that we fall in one of them categories. Keep going. Without natural affection. Truth breaker, false accuser, incontent, fierce, despise of those that are good. See, when we talk about natural affection, meaning Christians displaying no love for a person, abusive, heartless. We talk about, give you an example, road rage. Fighting with one another on the road. We don't even know that person. But we got to have a character of Christian at all times. The Bible tells and explains what love really is. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 and 7, that love is patient and kind. Love does not envy. Love is not rude. Love is not puffed up. Love does not provoke evil. Love takes no account of evil. Love bears all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. Never fail. As Christians, we have to demonstrate the virtues. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and 15 that we need to walk circumspectly in our sight of God. That's not just on Sunday. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. All our lives. Walk with the Spirit of God. Galatians chapter 5 and 16. The Bible tells us we need to have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 25. The Bible tells us that we need to be ambassadors of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 that we need to pray without ceasing. This should be our mindset. At all times. He's talking about truth breakers. Christians do not keep their word. They're promised to do something, but don't do it. The Bible tells us about it. Ecclesiastes 5 and 5 says, it's better that thou should not vow and thou shalt vow and not pay. The Bible, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and 37, let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you're not going to do it, don't do it. Tell them. False accusers. Slandering Christians' character, intentionally trying to hurt another Christian. Incontent. No self-control. Uncontrollable Christian. Can't control his or her desires. I know that. Talking about me too. Come to fool. You gotta control that. Not just any other thing that's abusive when you're looking at food. I'm looking at food. Money, alcohol, you name it. Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and 16, we must continue to walk in the Spirit of God and not lust after the flesh. Fears. Attitude of a savage. No regard for a personal feeling. No sensitivity. Not sorry for your actions. The Bible tells us 15:2-5, we have to have a mind of Christ. And that's every day, 24/7. Despisers of those that are good. Christians have a difficult time, tough time being around Christians. And we want to go to heaven. Think about it. Anybody going to go to heaven, they're going to be Christians. If you have a tough time with Christians right now, oh, you're going to have a tough time in heaven then. All nations. See, we're trying to figure out who's on the straight and narrow road. And we know that you can't be on the straight and narrow if you're in a sinful condition. So it better behoove us to check ourselves right now and not lie to ourselves. See, we got time to correct our deficiencies that in our lives, out of our faith. Traitor, hating, high minded, lover of pleasure more than lover of God. Traitor. Every time we sin, we are just like Judas, who betrayed Jesus. Every time. I don't care if it's a white lie, yellow lie, it doesn't matter. Anytime we sin, we betray Jesus Christ. Heady. Meaning Christians are headstrong, stubborn. I'm headstrong and stubborn when it comes to the word of God. But I'm not going to allow though. I'm headstrong and stubborn, but if the word of God have corrected my deficiencies, I'm going to change my ways. That's what I'm saying. It's all right to be headstrong when it comes to passion for the word of God, because that's who I am. You can't tell me there's more than one church. I know, because I study. The Bible tells us in Mark 7:7, how being in vain do they worship teaching for the doctrine's commandments of man. I know that Jesus said in Matthew 6:18, there's one church, and I will build that church, and nothing will prevail against it. He's only talking about one church. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:5, there's one Lord, one body. So I'm headstrong in that manner. But I'm talking about just headstrong when you know you're wrong, but you just refuse to get corrected. See, the Bible tells in Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. See, it's not the time to lie to ourselves, because we're going to be judged by this book. So I want to make sure I'm getting everything right. I want to eliminate all the deficiencies that's in my life. Love of pleasure more than love of the God. You can tell about that right now, because we probably found out 16 million people probably right now watching football games at this present time. When our focus, our mind should be on our Lord Jesus Christ. On God, worshiping God in spirit and truth. John chapter 4, verse 24. Are we almost done? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, such turn away. We talking about Christians. That's what we're talking about, Christians. Who appear to look like they're on the straight and narrow. Come to Sunday, go to church every Sunday. God's Bible study on Wednesdays. Appear. But living a lifestyle doesn't indicate that, doesn't reflect that. See, we are trying to figure out the day. And we're on a straight and narrow road. So we got to always got to compare ourselves with the standards that's in this Bible. Not our own standards. Every time we look at our faith, we should look through the eyes of God and not our own eyes. Because every time we look in our own eyes, we deceive ourselves. So the question is, question of the day was, are you on that straight and narrow road? See, after I studied the lesson, I had to check myself. I had to really check myself. And I'm only, if I sit and say, yes, I'm doing everything, then I'm only lying to myself. So I had to really constantly, see, I preach to myself first before I preach to you guys, really honestly. So I check myself, and you got to let the word God penetrate you in a way that it convicts you. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, this is your opportunity, this is your moment. Because tomorrow is not promised. If you're a Christian and you find yourself in one of these categories, prayers in order, we'll pray for you today. But understand this, if you're not a Christian, God already did his part. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. He gave us the book, the Bible. Now you gotta do your part. You gotta hear the word of God. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 and 37, now when they heard that they were cut to their heart, how they crucified the Savior, and he preached to them death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have to believe. The Bible says in John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Do you believe in Jesus Christ today? You have to repent. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 13 and 3, I tell your neighbors, if you repent, you shall likewise perish. You got to confess the sweetest thing in the Bible, that's Jesus Christ. The Bible tells in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. And you got to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and we'll baptize you today. The Bible tells in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, how many of you have been baptized in Christ has put on Christ. I'm asking you to come if you sing the song of the select. Will you come today? This is your opportunity.